It's Weekend Edition on Michigan Radio.
If the whole comprises the parts, it seems like the parts should not be able to comprise the whole.
That's what they say. Anne Curzon is a professor of English at the University of Michigan, and a gracious good Sunday morning to you, Anne.
Good morning.
Our listener, Louise, thought this segment would be a good way to tease her husband, Andrew. So, okay, Louise, here it is. What are we talking about?
We're talking about comprise. And Andrew, along with probably a lot of other folks, don't particularly like comprise used to mean compose. So the little things comprising or composing the big thing. So here's the historical scoop on this one. The verb comprise first comes into English from French in the 15th century. When it first comes in, it actually doesn't mean compose or include. It means to seize or to take in mentally or comprehend. From there, it takes on the meaning to include, and we can sometimes use comprehend this way of something that is contained or comprehended. So you have that early meaning to contain, so the big thing comprises small things. But by the late 18th century, comprise is also meaning compose. Here's a quote from the OED, 1799, "The wheels and pinions comprising the wheel work." So there we get the small things comprising the big things. So for over 200 years, comprise has meant both things.
I think you're trying to sneak math into our language program, aren't you, Anne?
Whenever I possibly can. Now, I have to say, as a teacher and as an editor, this has been an issue for me because I was taught comprise means include. Only big things comprise little things. And I always have to stop and think when I see it, which one is right? And should I correct it when it's used to mean compose? And last year, I decided I really needed to ease up and stop correcting people when they use it to mean compose.
Well, so everything goes. That's what you're saying. Everything is okay.
In this case, I think we can let it mean both things.
Here's another one, Anne. Is it hone in on or home in on?
This is another one that has come up for me as a professor and as an editor. It's originally home in on, as in we home in on an issue or on a question. We focus on it. And it comes from the homing that aircrafts do or that homing pigeons do. But this has been reinterpreted as hone in on, which, and you can imagine how that happens. The meaning is something like to pay close or sharp attention to, and hone meaning sharpen. So clearly you must be honing in on it. I looked that up in the OED. Hone in on has been around since 1965. So I've decided I need to stop correcting that one in student papers too.
That's not that long, though. Really, in the course of things?
It's not that long, but what I realize is that when the students change it from hone in to home in actually looks a little odd.
Yeah. Well, very interesting. Thank you so much, Anne.
Thanks, Rena. Have a good Sunday.
Thanks.